blows have been done. Christianize the mind, for the soul takes love with devotees, and he is the lifter of Kodianya. He is the son of Mother Yashoda, who is the attractive body wall of pleasure. He glows with sin, fame, and the violent groves on the banks of the Yamuna River.
I wish to steal all these slogans from the mighty fortress of the Sriman Bhagavatam in which they are kept. While I am commenting on the Srimad Bhagavatam, the wind of my history discussion should be my rank and ability to claim the remit to all the assembled Vaishnavas, my very lowly position. If this wind of my indiscretion happens to knock me down, then what else can I do? I simply have to hold on to the foliage pillar of the Lord's feet of my predecessor, Guru's and Chayas, such as Sridhar Swami, such as Sanatana Goswami, and finally I must hold on to the effulgent pillar of the lotus feet and the divine instructions of Lord Sri Krishna himself. So I want to open the Srimad Bhagavatam, the translations and purports of my His ever-loving divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It's very easy for me because I'm on verse 14, verse 14. Very easy to remember, 14, 14. It's our prayers, so we'll do the word for word and go right to the translation. Yada when Chara but because of misfortune. Bhagavadaya in spite of exploiting others. As insignificant as a piece of grass. The people can, father or son, God or son, form the conditioned soul. Indeed, not Shayati, just trouble to. Conversion. In this material world, where the conditional soul cannot arrange for his own maintenance, despite exploiting others, he tries to exploit his own father or son, taking away that relative's possessions, although they may be very insignificant. If you have a prior form as father, son, or other relatives, he is prepared to give them all kinds of troubles. Once, we actually saw a distressed man steal ornaments from his brother just to maintain himself. As the English proverb goes, necessity knows no law. When a condition seller needs something, he forgets his relationship with his relatives and exploits his own father or son. He also won't receive information from the Shimon Bhagavatam that his age is coming, the time is quickly approaching. When a relative will kill another relative for a small farthing. Without Krishna consciousness, people will deteriorate further and further into a hellish condition wherein they will perform abominable acts. So, one of the questions of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Sometimes it's called the yoga ladder. I don't like that word, yoga ladder. Because when you climb a ladder, it implies that once you leave one step and then you go to the next step, you leave the bottom step behind. So I like the word yoga continuum better. The yoga continuum. So in the Shrimad Bhagavatam and Bhakti Shastras, which I will choose the Anamala Purana, the topmost Purana of the Vedic tree, the fruit of the Vedic tree, the topmost fruit of the Vedic tree of knowledge, there is not much help handed out to us for enjoyment within this material world. There are other shastras, there are other yoga systems where that hope is held out to us. The first yoga system that's recommended in the yoga continuum is the Karmakandya yoga process. And that process, hope is held out to conditioned souls for environment in this material world. It's a process of performing specific material enjoyments by specific recommendations offered in Shastra. For example, if a man wants a nice wife, strong desire of many men in this material world, the man is suggested to worship Lord Mother Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. I can even tell you the place to go to do that if you want to. If you go to Bhaktinath, below Bhaktinath is Josimath. And below Josimath is another town that I can't remember, but I'm sure you get there and just ask anybody. And there they have beautiful, beautiful deities of Uma. And it's the official place you're supposed to go to do the worship. Please give me a nice walk. Or you can go to the Nazi people down south. Different places you can go. Or, for example, if you're a lady's body and you want a nice husband, you are offered, you're suggested that you worship Lord Shiva. And then you will get a nice husband. Now, this way, if you want to learn a poor woman, you should worship this person, you should offer sacrifice to that sort of person. You want to be healthy, you want to be healthy, you should worship the sun god. I can't remember who you should worship for one, for one, but you get the idea. If you want a kingdom, I think you're supposed to issue worship for Vishvadevas. All this was given in the second canto of the Shrimad Bhagavatam. So this is called the Karmakandya section of the Vedas, and it's the only section of the Vedas that holds out for enjoyment in this material world. And when Krishna mentions this realm on the yoga continuum, in the Bible, the Bible very quickly, quickly dispenses with it as being far more significant. Men, small matters, he says, are very attractive. To small worldly leaders, which offer excellent life, good health, joy, so on and so on and so forth. While studying these sections of the Vedas, which you could find in the way I've never even studied, then what happens? You get these things, and then you think, well, this is the sole purpose of Vedic knowledge, and this is the sole purpose of religious life. He put on the earth planet the fruits, the trees, the seeds, and the different animals. He gave man, he gave everyone over the earth, and then he said, go forth, be fruitful, multiply. He did the same thing in our Shastra, too, in some sections of our Shastra. In the Kama Yoga section of the Bhagavad Gita, similar but not exactly the same injunction is given. When the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Lord Vishnu. And he said to them, be happy by the performance of these yajnas for Lord Vishnu, because if you perform those yajnas, they will bestow upon you everything for living a happy, 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 happy life in this world. And at the end, if you perform the yajna system properly, you will become liberated. So, professional people dispenses with this yoga system, and by the time we get to the topmost yoga system, we are reading things like the forest of material enjoyment that really crushes an ugly courage again and again. Any thought or attempt in our mind to enjoy this world at all, for those who are why is the Srimad Bhagavatam so beautiful? Tell us the stuff. We find the fine comedy section of the race. He thought, well, as this is the verse that appears right after that verse where Krishna says, men of small intelligence, they're very much attracted to the following words of the Vedas. He says, the race for Allah. Anybody knows this verse? Come on, together. It does not take place. Samadhi does not take place. For those who are very attracted to sense enjoyment and material opulences, even in a religious way, allows the whole attracted to material opulence and sense enjoyment, and allows to completely be bewildered by these things. Bewildered by these things means that they think that this is the goal of life. Now, really, they're not so much different than what we call a clearer incarnate. The only difference is that they want to go about it in a pious religious way. But the goal is the same, material enjoyment. So those who are attracted to sense enjoyment and material opulences, and their minds are bewildered by such things, there's something happens to such a person. Focus his mind one-pointedly on the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God. His intelligence is many grasped. His samadhi never takes place. And if samadhi never takes place, there's never really, really any enjoyment on the level of the soul. And we need enjoyment on the level of the soul, not enjoyment on the level of the senses. So, we need a bucket full of enjoyment on the level of the soul. Yata, sukho, yata, rama, sukhanta, jodhi, evo, yata. Sayyogi, brahma, nirvana, yama, dukhav, jidashvati. At some time on the continuum of the yogic lower, on the yoga ladder, there's something that happens. In the Kamakandya section of the Vedas, it's described by the devotees, at least it's been said to me, I haven't read this in the Shastra, but by advanced devotees I've heard this. The only benefit or truly of the Kamakandya sections of the Vedas is twofold. Number one is you, twofold, I'm sorry. Number one, you associate with Brahmanas, because Vedic religious activities attract devotees, and therefore you might get the association of devotees. And then in the yajnas, Lord Vishnu is the yajnapati, so all of the worship of Vishnu is going on. So those are the three big deals. Those are the real benefits of the karma kanda world system, not that you get a nice wife. Even though that's what you ask. Or not that you get a nice husband or whatever it is you want. So therefore Krishna quickly dispenses with this yoga system. And along the yoga continuum, something happens. Nataha Sikho, Nataha Ramas, I already followed this verse. We'll begin to realize that happiness is not out there. Okay? That it's not out there, and the process for getting happiness is not that I'm doing those things from out there. Okay, I got the house. So when you come to the point, Nataha Sikho, Nataha Ramasakanti, Gokti, Sayoki Brahma, being with happiness is within. Inside. He is active, he rejoices within himself. He is aimed inward, inside, not there. He is the mystic yogi. He is liberated and supreme, and ultimately he is saint, attains his supreme. So after dispensing with the yoga system, the Karmakanda yoga system, and the Karma yoga system, then you come to something else. Because Gyan Yoga. And Gyan Yoga offers you something else. What does Gyan Yoga offer you? Shanti. Shanti. Om Shanti. Yukta. Yukta. Om Shanti. Shanti. Shanti, nice teacher, not just any kind of shanti, but nice teacher is shanti, huh? Shanti, mahapoti, we go like nice teacher is shanti, yeah. We have nice teacher brahmacharya, the third brahmacharya, he's never experienced sex life in his life. That's a nice brahmacharya. So this is nice teacher shanti. And how do you get this nice picking of shanti? Yukta, yukta, sometimes bodhi yukta, yukta is a synonym or a code word or a Morse code word for a devotional service. So yukta, come up on the shaktam, shaktim, a monkey, nice picking. A yukta, kama, kama. So the study of the body of the soul, he attains perfect peace because he offers all the results of his activity
unto Lord Shri Krishna, unto the Supreme.
But he is not in harmony with the divine, who is greedy in the results of his activities, he becomes entangled. So, at some point along the way, we continue when we realize, when we come to the understanding of the proverbial light bulb goes off in your head, that I've got to stop working for my own sense gratification. And the next step is that I work instead for God. And what is God's payment? Is God's payment sense enjoyment? Is God's payment? We work for God, and what do we get? We get something of the relationship. Now, we here in a sub-Visham means in comparison to everything else, in comparison to the, in comparison to the gifts of the Kama Kanda and the Kama Yoga sections of the Vedas, that are given when performing any of the activities, sadhisham, that he gave me this understanding that I should work for God and give my life to God. Now he gave me a sadhisham, pavitam, iha, pavitam means very clearly, iha means in this world, pavitam, iha, is not anything better than this. Many times in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's not anything better than this. But this is one of the times when he says, it's not anything better than this. But why? Swayam yoga, samsaya, that's why. Swayam means self-manifested happiness. Happiness that's not dependent on anything or anyone else, but it comes deep within the being. Wouldn't that be a great happiness to get a hold of? Not the happiness outside. It just like Krishna Prema Sajya Abhimaya. Love and love Krishna. The ecstasy of love of Lord Krishna. It is eternally established in the heart of the divinity. It is not something to be gained from an outside source. When a devotee becomes purified in heart by constantly hearing and chanting, before the name from qualities and pastimes of Lord Krishna, then that natural dormant love, that ecstasy of that natural dormant love within the heart awakens naturally. So now he's getting a sadhisham, honey from Iha, Vijayate, there's not anything better in this world. Swayam yoga samsidaya vicharaya kalatma. Swayam yoga samsidaya kalena jnana vindati. He enjoys. You're hearing about constantly not enjoying. And I'm trying to give the other side. How is it that we enjoy? Vindati. He enjoys. Self-manifested happiness. So in this world, there is nothing so pure and sublime as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one has become very accomplished in the art and in the practice of devotional service. We can enjoy this knowledge within itself in due course of time. For the while, let the tear again on top of us on your 10 day. loved God, but Ramshan came. But Ramshan came again, a promise of supreme peace. But Ramshan came. The a faithful man who has dedicated himself to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses. These two things are always coupled together in the Bhagavad Gita. A great dedication to transcendental knowledge and the subduing of the senses. Without one, you cannot have the other. So, he subdues the senses. So, the faithful man who has dedicated himself to transcendental knowledge and subdues the senses, who is qualified, who is eligible to enjoy such knowledge within himself, and he quickly obtains the supreme spiritual peace. So that's Gyana Yoga, Tohu Bhakti. And then finally we come to this Bhakti Yoga process, which is explicitly described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada handed to us the topmost scripture of the Vedic Tree of Knowledge. The Srimad Bhagavatam is written for Paramahamsas, the distinction of Paramahamsas is written for people who are completely free and completely done with enjoying the material life. That's the audience for the Srimad Bhagavatam. He handed it to us. And so therefore, the Bhakti Shastra, there's not a lot of a hope out here without the living entity or to the leader or to the studier of that Shastra for enjoying in this material world. Unlike other sections of the Vedic Tree of Knowledge. Why? Because God's bad guy and he just wants us to serve him like a slave? No. Because God is trying to hand us something superior. And until he will hand us something superior, we have to put down that which is inferior. So therefore, in Vedic Shastra, you'll see here in the material world, the reality of the material world is openly displayed for us, what goes on here. And therefore, the true Vedic knowledge, the material world, is compared to different things, none of them good. Here, the material world and the goings on in the material world are compared to a deep, dark, dangerous forest. This comparison is also made in the Bhagavad Gita. Yadatra yam kale yam. They know yati tar isha titadam tasi nirvedam kripa rasya shukasya strata. When the intelligence has passed up of the deep, dark, dense forest of delusion. In other words, when you actually have some bhakti gyan, when you're actually experiencing some of the peace that comes from surrendering to God, when you're actually experiencing something about God. So when your intelligence is thus passed out of the dark, dense forest of delusion, then you become indifferent to anything that everything that has been heard and anything that will be heard. Different philosophies, different paths. You become totally, you could not care less. So besides being compared to a dark, dense forest, another popular analogy is the forest fire. The material world is compared to a great forest fire, and we happen to be caught in the middle of that forest fire. I think in the last verse, Prabhupada called it samsara dharma nara leela loka, jana yukaru nara madanantam. Right. Sri Krishna Chaitanya himself says, take the Bhagavan Mahadama, take the Bhagavan Mahadama, the Mahadama, the Mahadama, the Mahadama, the great forest fire of material enjoyment. Now, the other thing that's quite popular in the Vedas is that the material world is compared to a great ocean. And the 12th temple of Shaman Bhagavatam is a wonderful story of walking very easy. And it's a very interesting story. Mahi Dharmashi was born not in this story of Lord Brahma, but in the past day of Lord Brahma. So, by all the sages in the mention of the literature, he is the eldest sage. He's even older than Narada Muni. Besides Lord Brahma, he's the and Lord Shiva. He's the eldest of all the Vedic sages. And he wasn't born in this day of Lord Brahma, he was born in the last day of Lord Brahma. And he was such a great sage that for 7 Nandatars, the Nandatara lasts for 72 Yugasakas. A Yuga cycle lasts for 4,320,000 years. So for 7 Yuga cycles, he performed great austerity, as usual. The Indra of the 7th Yuga cycle was always named Pundara. How do you say it? Pundara Indra? Huh? Pundara, sorry. Yeah, Pundara Indra. So if we ended up in group, got a little worried, the sage is getting a little bit too much to pass here. As usual, he says, chicken in the spring season in beautiful Vrindavas and Apsaras, the try to build his homes. Large day of the field, those elements. And we're sitting in the ashram, and doing his pasta, and lo and behold, one day, Narayan Rishi, the twin sages, are an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nara, Narayana. Nara is white, Nara is right, Narayana is a blackish color. They're white and black. Always confuse me how they could be called twins. If one is white, if one is black, but we'll leave that alone. So they were twins. And we say Sage Markandeya also offers beautiful prayers to Narayana Rishi, and he says that again, Narayana Rishi comes, usually when you appear before somebody is accustomed to pray for a benediction. He is asked for a benediction. The sage said, no, I don't want to ask you about benediction, I'm just happy to have your darshan, I'm just so overjoyed that you're here. And but Narayana Rishi, they insisted, please ask for a benediction. So Markandeya Rishi, he asked for a benediction that was not so pleasing to the Lord. And it's described that when he asked for this benediction, the Lord smiled, and the Acharyas say that the smile was a rueful smile. And when he asked for this benediction, the Supreme Lord, he said 3 words, so be it, and then he disappeared. So the Supreme Lord, he only says those words twice in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So do it, and then he disappears. The first time was when Daksha was asking, he was doing tremendous austerities, and then the Supreme Lord appeared before him, and he said, okay, I propose to ask for a benediction. And he asked for the benediction, please allow me to have unlimited sex life so I can produce unlimited children. And then the Lord looked at it and said, so be it.
And then he disappeared.
You know, his children were stolen by an iron woman. So we all know that story. So this is the second time when the Lord says, so be it, and then disappears. So, if God ever appears to you face to face and you ask him for a benediction, if he says, so be it, and then disappears, you have to understand that you blew it. Okay? Hey, good, I got it out. I was happy. Very dangerous thing when the Lord says this, so be it. So it disappears in the outcome. And, the benediction asked was by Mark and Barishi was, I would like to understand and I would like to see your true form as Maya. I really want to understand exactly what is this Maya. I want to see the true form of Maya. But the Lord wasn't right. When the humanity gets close to Maya. And this is what's common in the picture. But the Lord said, so be it. You wanted the benediction, so be it, and he disappeared. And so, Martin Daly was happily doing his meditation in his ashram, and then one day, he was wondering, when am I going to get the wings of fulfillment of my benediction going to come? I really want to see you, the Supreme Lord of Maya. And all of a sudden, a very fierce, fierce, incredibly fierce wind came up, and then there was a devastation, and began to rain and rain and rain and rain, continuously rain. It was dark. You couldn't see a thing. Every once in a while, the lightning would flash. And for a brief second, you could see something. You could see all the rivers were flowing up. And over high in the Himalayan mountains, you could see the water was getting higher and higher and higher. He ran up on top of the mountain. As his ashram became inundated with the flood, he was on top of the mountain. And you could see when the lightning flashed that the water was getting higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, boom, a wave came by and he was swept away in the water of the universal devastation. And it lasts for 4,320,000,000 years. Just in case you're interested, how long it lasts. The universal devastation at the end of Lord Brahma's day. That's how long his day is, that's how long his night is. So anyway, he was caught up in this devastating water, and there's two things. You couldn't drown and you couldn't die. You couldn't drown and you couldn't die. He was swept up in this water of devastation, and the water would bring up on top of a huge peak of water, and then it would throw him into another peak of water. And then he would go down in that trough in that peak of water, and the water would bring him up to another peak of water, another huge, another body. It would throw him into another peak of water. And then he would be on that peak of water, and he would go to another peak of water, and then he would flow into another peak of water. Does that sound familiar? One body to the next, to the next, to the next. It's an analogous. It's a true story. It's an analogous. One body to the next, to the next, to the next. And you know, in this water, also, it's funny because it says in Srimad Bhagavatam that all the living entities are annihilated at the end of the Lord Brahma's grave. It seems like in the water of devastation, those huge fish that fight with each other. Timagila fish, huge fish become the predominating creature during that time. And he was in between, sometimes it's described, he was in between these fighting fish. He couldn't die. And he was freezing cold. And he had an endurance for 4,380 years. Then finally, after a long, long time. This happened here in Manipur, right? Hello, Prince Dungeon? Yeah, across the street. Across the street, so. Across the room on Jalangi, across the Jalangi, there's a place called Sarabhikil Kum. And finally, after being in the water of devastation, so long, so little island, oh my God, solid land, 4,300 million years, I said, oh Lord, he began to swim to that land, and was able to get up on top of that land, and he saw a great banyan tree, and there on one of the leaves of the banyan tree was this And I saw the baby, and the amazing thing about the baby is the baby would lift up its feet and he was sucking his tongue. Just like the little babies do, they lift their feet and suck their tongue. And it's described by the great Acharyas, Acharyas who comment on this verse, that Krishna is constantly hearing about the wonders of his honey-like lotus feet. So therefore, every once in a while he thinks, gee, what's it like the honey of my lotus feet? And it would be kind of unbecoming for Lord Krishna to take up his feet and start sucking on him in his flying Bhagavan form. So in this little form as a baby, he says, this is the taste of my lotus feet.
So he saw the baby, and then he was looking at this baby in wonderment, in bewilderment, and then the baby breathed in. And when the baby breathed in, Markandeya Rishi was breathed into the baby's body. And then when he was breathed into the baby's body, he was right back at his ashram, just like before the whole thing happened. Nothing had changed. He was right back at his ashram. And then all of a sudden, the baby breathed up. And he was back into the water of vegetation. And then he understood all of the babies, Krishna, my Lord. That's yours. And then the baby breathed in again. And then he was finally back in his ashram. So this is the nature of the great ocean. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. If we'll take one question, maybe two questions, if anyone has a question. Hare Krishna. That's correct. That's the theory. Can I cut over? Okay, go ahead. So, in the age of Kali Yuga, we're stuck gloriously blessed with the chanting of the holy name as the Yuga government and as the religious process for this age. So now we cherish the karma kandiya a path of yoga. We personally rejected it. Our Padmini suggested it. The Acharyas don't suggest it. It's a rejected path of yoga that we shouldn't try. What we should try to do is try to clean all that path up in the Krishna consciousness as best we can. Okay?
This is a serious risk. And we should only be able to serve the Lord Krishna and never for our own personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment because of its relationship to Lord Krishna, he is perfect in his renunciation. So by what, by the motorbike, and get rid of the bike. If you truly are a yogi in the service of Lord Krishna, but if you got rid of the bike and you got the motorbike, and then you say, hey, now I can go to the movies. You go into the Krishnadada, and you go on and ride along there, go see the movie. Or whatever it is you want to do with your motorbike that's not Krishna conscious. Really matter that you don't have anything. Therefore, the devotees were afraid of gathering these material things for us. Even when we practice Yukta Vairagya, Yukta Vairagya has got to be done with some intelligence. If I gather this thing unto myself, will I actually use it in the service of Krishna? If I gather, the big thing is gathering a woman unto yourself. If I gather a woman unto myself, make her my possession. Good luck on that. Anyway, if I gather a woman unto myself, try to win her prize and win her my possession, she going to engage her in the service of Lord Krishna according to the Shastra? Or are you going to use it now? So, is not one. We should have to find the other processes of devotional service. We should try to clean up our acting Krishna consciousness. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. We're perfectly ended on time. Hare Krishna.